Single verse will be our text this evening, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. As this evening I want to talk about the path of peace and what this passage has to say to us. If you don't have a Bible on the back of the bulletin, the verses there that we'll be looking at and referring to throughout, let's give our careful hearing again to the reading of the word. Just this one verse here in Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. They said, we will not walk in it. Please bow with me briefly again in prayer. Lord, we ask that you would attend the reading and preaching of your word this evening with the illuminating work of your Holy Spirit. We pray that your word might be implanted deeply within our hearts and lives, that it might bring forth fruit to your glory. And so be with us now, O God. Our eyes are upon you. We wait expectantly for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone is walking, we might say. We might be purposefully going in a certain direction, or we may accidentally be going in a certain direction, but we are all moving. We are all walking. We are all heading down some path in life. And this fact of us moving and this fact of every one of us being on a path, it's assumed in our passage. But so is the fact that there are choices as to paths which we can be walking in. So it's assumed that everyone's walking, everyone's on a path, but there's also an assumption here that there are choices concerning the paths that we are on, paths that we are going down. You see, we're not at all neutral. We are not unmoving. We are all moving, and we all have to make choices, and particularly about where we are going and how we are going to get there. But it is also assumed in our passage, and something else that comes out very clearly is that not all paths, not all roads are equal. It is not the case that no matter what road you pick, you will get to the destination that you are hoping to get to. You may have in your mind a very good destination. You want to get to, quote, the right place. But you can actually be on the wrong path and you'll never get there. For instance, if you wanted to go to Wyoming or something like that, just setting off in your car, driving into the sunset, because it's beautiful and it's warm, or just the opposite, driving away from the sunset because it's uncomfortable and it's blinding, that will not get you to Wyoming or any other path that you might just decide willy-nilly to get in your car and go to. So one can sincerely be desiring to go to the right place, but sincerely be wrong in how they think that they can actually get there. And the passage before us this evening, though maybe articulated in foreign words or vague terms, maybe, it's actually speaking to this issue. It actually, I think, assumes that we want to go to the right place. It actually describes the right road as to how to get to that place. But it also speaks pretty clearly to the fact that there are many people that will never find the right path. And in fact, there are many people who, even if they are shown the right path, they will not, they still will not walk in it. I want us to consider a few things that are, I think, very clear in this verse. And the first is the one who is speaking about the path. The one who is speaking about the path. If you have it in front of you, you'll notice that the first few words of the verse tell us definitively who is speaking. Thus says the Lord. And the reason why this is important to point out, it might just seem like a totally obvious thing, but the reason why this is important to point out is because if you don't like what is said in this verse, or if you don't like what is said in this sermon, you could be tempted to write it off as just the opinion of the preacher or just the opinion of an older person. The one who is speaking here is God Himself. The words that we're going to be looking at tonight are actually God's words. So as you sit here this evening and as you listen, and as you either accept or reject the message, you need to appreciate that you're actually either accepting or rejecting God's words, His message to you. Secondly, let's consider the destination of the path. I think this is interesting because we read here that as we walk in this path that God is speaking about, the destination is articulated as you will find rest for your souls. That's the destination. That's the hope of moving in this path that God is talking about, that you will find rest for your souls. Every time I read the word rest in the Bible, I tend to assume that it's either a Greek or Hebrew word for Sabbath behind the word translated rest. But that's not the case here at all. This is not saying that you will find Sabbath rest. This isn't the word for that. It's actually an extremely rare Hebrew word. In fact, I think this is the only place in the entire Old Testament that this word is found, and therefore it's the only place that it's translated as rest. But this is not talking about rest as we might normally think about it. Rather, it is talking not so much about the action of resting, or maybe the inaction of not doing something and actually resting, but rather it is talking more about, and it's kind of odd to think of it this way, but more about finding a place where there is rest. Arriving at a state or a condition wherein you can rest. In fact, this word actually refers to a place that one can find cleansing, purification, and expiation of their sin. That's what it's actually referring to. It's much more of the idea of a sacrificial place where one then finds this cleansing and finds rest for their soul. In other words, this is ultimately speaking of arriving at a place of having peace with God. Arriving at a condition of being at peace with God. That is, the destination is being reconciled to God. Being at peace with Him because we have been washed. Because we have been cleansed. Because we have been purified. Let's consider thirdly then how to find the path. How to find the path. We see that God is speaking here, and we see that He is telling us the way that we can find peace with Him. But He also says here, notice, stand by the road and look and ask. Stand by the roads and look and ask. In other words, you cannot find it on your own, but you can also not find it without looking for it. And so it's a kind of an interesting quagmire or problem that we find ourselves in, is that you have to have both an interest in finding it. You have to have an interest in finding this path that God is talking about. But you also need to learn about it and be taught where that path is. You need to, what it's getting down to is you need to receive instruction from others. This is not something you're going to find within yourself. This is not something you're going to find on your own. This is not something you're going to figure out on your own. You are being asked, or called, I should say, to ask. You're being called to seek. You're being called to knock. And the promise is that it will, this path will be shown to you. Fourth thing that I want us to consider is the age of the path. Notice the age of the path. I was speaking just a moment ago about the fact that there are many paths, and not all of the paths are equal. You need to heed what God says here, and you need to ask where that path is that He is leading us to. But what you're being called to do, and this is a vitally important matter that you have to see here this evening, is that you're being asked to specifically ask where the ancient paths are. Where are the ancient paths? In other words, a way to think about this, and this is sort of counterintuitive, but what God is saying here is that the way forward is actually backwards. That this is kingdom stuff. God's ways are not our ways. The way forward is actually to go backwards. God is saying that it is decidedly not a new way, but it is an ancient way. And young people, I want you to especially listen up. I know it's a late hour, and Sunday afternoons can be a sleepy time. But you need to hear this. I say this with no condescension at all. You are an amazing generation. You are full of amazing, beautiful, exciting ideas. It could be that in this generation we finally put a man on Mars. Or in this generation we finally find a cure for cancer. Again, you are amazing young people. You are living in a time of amazing innovation, and you have lots of great ideas, and we'll probably see many advancements by way of your generation. But there is one area of life that we are called to not value the new, but the old. And that is the area of spiritual truth. Go out and be creative. Go out and change the world for good. But when it comes to worship, when it comes to service of God, when it comes to relationship with God, put the creative impulse aside and ask for the ancient path. In fact, what the text is calling you to is not just to ask where are those ancient paths, but to endeavor to walk in them. This brings me to the fifth thing that I want us to see here this evening, and that is the goodness of the path. Not only will the path be ancient, it will be an old path, but it will also be good. Notice we read here, ask. God says, ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Do you notice that the passage doesn't say, ask where, and I'll say it this way, it doesn't say, ask where the right path is, as if it were merely an intellectual way. Rather, it speaks of a good way. You need to seek the good way. That is a moral and a holy way. The word here that describes, or the word that's used for good, is describing something interestingly. It's saying that there is this path that is good in itself. And it has the ability, it's so good, the good in itself has the ability of making other things good too. It actually has the ability, it's good in itself, and has the ability of imparting good to others. So again, it is not merely about being on the right path, it is about being on a path that is able to make you good. About being on a good path. You see, if your idea, and here's the, I think what it's getting to is if your idea, and young people, please listen to this. In fact, that's not just young people, it's actually everybody. We all need to hear this. If your idea of a relationship with God is merely about getting out of having to go to hell, then you don't know God. If that is what you think having faith is that simply so that you don't have to go to hell when you die? You don't know God. God is after changing you. That is His goal. That is His aim in relationship with you, making you different, making you ultimately good like He is. We are freed from sin not so that we don't have to be punished for it. We are freed from sin so that we can be restored to the good. He has predestined us to be conformed to the image of Christ. And what you need to hear and what you need to grasp and have rooted in your thinking, in your hearts, as you think about spiritual matters, is that there is no supposed path to God that denies or downplays the good way. If you think that you can be right with God and there's no issue of good involved in that, there's no issue of a holy moral way, that is not a right relationship with God. God is calling you in this verse, and God is calling us throughout the Scriptures to a good way. You will not get there if it is not a good way. Finally, a sixth thing that we can see here, I think clearly, is the choice of the path. You need to see that there is a choice involved in finding and walking in the good way. And we see this at the end of the verse. Notice the final words of the verse. But they said, "We will not walk." At the end of the day, there is a choice to make. And make no mistake about it, the issue here, now, the issue in some places in Scripture is absolutely, absolutely on what we believe. But you need to see that in this passage that's before us here this evening, the issue here is not, do you believe these things? The issue here is actually, will you walk in this path? Will you walk in this path? Because if you're not walking in this good, ancient path, then what you are saying with your life, whether you're saying it with your mouth or not, is you're saying, I will not walk in it. That's what the people were saying here. They were shown the path. God had told them where it is. He'd shown them how to find it, what to do to find it, ask about it, ask where the ancient good way is, and walk in it. And they said, we will not walk in it. And if you are saying, again, by either your life or your mouth, if you are not walking in this, you're saying, I will not walk in it, then you are not. And you cannot be at peace with God. And that's the worst place that you could ever be at. Again, the question right now is not, do you believe the right things? The question that comes out of this passage is, are you walking in the good and ancient path that leads to peace? with God. But as we conclude here this evening, I will have committed malpractice as a pastor, and I won't have done justice to the passage unless we actually can see together what this path really is, where the trajectory of this passage is pointing us and getting us to focus this evening. In other words, and even if Jesus had not, if Jesus had not absolutely explicitly identified himself as the path, he is the way, John 14:6. Even if the early Christians throughout Acts didn't talk about the Christian faith as the way, it is clear that there is only one who could actually meet the description that is materializing, I think, before us here in this passage. In other words, there is only one place that God calls us to. There's only one person that he calls us to, and that is to his Son, Jesus. There is only one who can provide cleansing and purification and peace with God. There's only one who can provide rest for our souls. That is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There is only one who preachers and teachers are to tell us about. We've been given a single commission to preach Christ. There is only one whose going forth is from ancient times, who was before Abraham, who was the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth, so that we could have peace with God. That one, that eternal Son of God, Jesus himself. There is only one who is truly good and able to make us good, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And there is only one who we must choose and who we must serve, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who's offered to you in the gospel. So we must see that this ancient, this good path that God calls us to through the proclamation of the Word, by which we have peace with God, we need to see that this path is actually Jesus, the Son of God. The path is the person of Christ. The final matter that I think we need to think about is, and it could be in your mind at this point, is, well, what about, what is the distance of the destination? In other words, how long must you walk on this path to finally find peace with God? How long is this road to finally find rest for your soul? Well, the beautiful truth that comes through the passage here is that you are actually there once you are on the good way. Ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. In other words, the rest comes, the peace with God comes as you walk with Christ. It is immediate. We immediately, when we are on that path, immediately when we are in union with Jesus Christ, we are at peace with God. And that is the point of the passage. Let's pray together. Our Lord and God, we thank you that you would call us to that path of peace, who is your Son. And I pray tonight that you would lead us in those ways, that you would lead us to Christ, that we might see that he is the Ancient of Days, the good path that we are to walk in. And so, Lord, grant us faith for that walk. Grant peace to our souls. Renew again that joy of our salvation as we lay hold afresh of Christ. Thank you for such a great Savior. Thank you for the path of peace that he is. We pray in his name.